have a whole caravan of friends coming in. Come. Dear brother, why don't you come sit up here with me? So good to see you all.
We're beginning a new month with a new theme. And we must be close to the full moon. Middle of Ramadan. Beautiful time. And the new theme is be cleansed of shallow idolatries. Be cleansed of shallow idolatries. Affirm the real. Yahak. What are shallow idolatries? Well, they're things that grab our interest, distract us, whether negative or positive, but definitely the negative ones are need to be dealt with. Once somebody was asked me the question, more than once some people have asked the question, how can I live a life where I'm completely free of self? And I just wanted to say, well, calm down, just relax a little bit. Let's just start with, why don't we just say, let's eliminate your negativity and see what's left. And we'll deal with that. Let's just start. Eliminate your negativity. Eliminate the malice. We have a poem from Mevlana tonight that we'll share about ending all malice in our hearts. So the spiritual seeker is somebody who cares deeply about transformation and about freedom, about not just being stuck the way we know we can be stuck. And in this month, this is the third phase of seven. And really the essence of this third phase is La ilaha il Allah. We think we know what it means. Well, we do to some extent. La ilaha illah. La ilaha illahak. La ilaha illahu. La ilaha illallah. It's so easy to think we know what it means. But just to give a slightly different perspective on it, because it's like a ladder, has so many levels. The Buddhists have a beautiful idea, which is beginner's mind, to approach the life with life as if with beginner's mind. That's also La ilaha illallah. Empty ourselves of all of the false gods, idols, stupid opinions, talk about vain and shallow idolatries. Our opinions, pretty good category there. Most of our opinions, we think we know. And our judgments, we think we have a right to judge others. We think we know what they're doing and why. Nonsense. Allahu alam, God knows. Let the outside be, let people be, we're not the judge. We can evaluate actions, things, some things are better, some things are worse, but judging another's soul, no, impossible, impossible. Shallow idolatries, shallow opinions, shallow judgments, and affirm the real. You don't claim to know what the real is, what haq is, but if this helps you, One of the most reliably haq things we can access is the Quran. Really, you want to know what truth is? You want to know what haq is? If we could understand what's revealed in the Quran, for all practical purposes, that is haq. Not that it's words on a page, not that it's beliefs about the Quran, but the message that the Quran is trying to give us, humanity, on all levels of humanity, from the criminal and the murderer to the finest Gnostic, the guidance is there. The haq is there for all these levels of being. the tyrant needs one kind of hawk, or at least needs the medicine of hawk in a certain way. The lover of God needs it another way, or a different way. Rumi says that God has his armies, God has his, you know, what do they call it? Those people that come and kick down your door. I'm not saying God has these people, but, you know, the police, those squads, what are they called?
Stormtroopers.
SWAT teams.
SWAT teams. God has his armies, his SWAT teams, his police, his marching bands. Rumi says this, you know, his marching bands. And he also has his feast for his intimate friends. Feast for his lovers. So Allah has all these things. And if you're invited to the feast of the lovers, alhamdulillah, enjoy it. Be at peace. Be at ease. Be at ease with Allah. Not be presumptuous, not relax so much that you fall into heedlessness. Be alert as you would be before your most beloved. Why wouldn't you be? Give your full attention to your beloved if you could be close, intimate. So anyway, we are the people aspiring to hawk, to the real. We don't know what it is. We know only less real and more real. Perhaps we can understand what is less real in us. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out when we look at what we give our attention to. Certainly you can begin to discern what's of value and what's not so much of value. Be cleansed of shallow idolatries. Well, it says be cleansed. It doesn't say cleanse yourself. There's a difference. Alhamdulillah. Because the cleansing comes in its rahmat. And when it comes, perception changes. Only when it comes do we begin to see what we need to be cleansed of. Still, we have to be available. We have to be there. We have to be open. We have to be at least clear some space in order for that cleansing to arrive and be sensed. The more we empty ourselves, as in Ramadan, the more we empty ourselves, the more that cleansing may be experienced. Has anybody experienced anything like that in the last 2 weeks? I sure hope so. Otherwise, what a waste. You're just starving. But I'm sure you have. So, affirm the real. Be of those who have a yearning. Be of those who have an aim. Be of those who are willing to look at themselves and see what's there. See the nonsense that's there. And see the beauty that's there. The haq that's there. It's a full-time discipline. There's no vacation from it. There's no time off if you're sincere. What would you want? Not to be awake, to hawk. Hawk is a beautiful concept in our path. I knew some friends of another order back in California. When I would see them, they would say, "The hawk." And I was always just so touched by that greeting, "The hawk." What a great reminder. Mevlevis tend to say, "Ooh." So, there's no competition between hawk and who. Well, let me share some of our peers' language. Sit around. Barry, are you in a reading mode tonight? Good. Can you read to us the first one?
Do not bear malice. If malice leads you astray, your grave will be dug next to the malicious. Malice is born of hell, and your malice is part of it. It's the enemy of your faith. Since you can also be a portion of hell, take care. The part gravitates towards its whole. Whoever is bitter will gather with the bitter. Vain breathings and lies can't be joined with truth. Oh, brother, you are what you think. As for the rest of you, it's only flesh and bone. If your thought is a rose, you are a rose garden. And if your thoughts are thorns, you are just kindling for the bath stove.
So this is a place to begin. With a bit of warning. Anybody want to comment? What touches you? What significance this may have for you? Yes, Anna.
I was reading, reading Thomas Merton, and what he says about lies strikes me. Vain breathings and lies can't be joined with truth, he said. That lying is the original violence. It splits us off from ourselves. You know, there's a way that you can't live with yourself when you lie. And it's that integration, that oneness that we're seeking. It seems that we're seeking it outwardly to be joined with something, but it's also a process of not splitting yourself.
As a lie does. There's a hadith that somebody asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, something like this. I'm paraphrasing a little bit because I'm not giving it to you in the full perfect Arabic with the isnad, etc., so bear with me. But the essence is here. Somebody says, can you be a Muslim and be a drunkard? The Prophet said, yes, you can. Can you be a Muslim and not have courage? The Prophet said, yes, you can. And then he said, can you be a Muslim and be a liar? And he said, no. Yeah, so in the search for haq, to be alert to and even seeing are the subtle ways in which we lie. This is a deep teaching. We could really spend a month just on this, because there's latent lies and there's a whole gradation of subtlety, ways we lie to ourselves and then to each other and even to Allah. So this simple task is full of chapters upon chapters. It's not just one sentence, it's a whole book. The reason I chose this was for that simple line. Vain breathings and lies can't be joined with truth, but it's also about negativity. And what else is it about? What else? You know, there's always spiritual laws embodied in this poetry. They're principles we can extract and make our own and put them in our own book, because you're writing your own book, you know? It's your life. You're writing the book of your life. So write it beautifully and write it with wisdom. And steal the wisdom if you can find it, right? From Mevlana, he won't mind. And from the Quran.
I'm struck by the line, malice is born of hell. Um, malice is when I believe that something or someone should be destroyed or put down. And when I think that way, basically, I think I know better than God. That thing or person is here, and I'm saying it shouldn't be. So I'm saying, God, you're wrong. And I think that that's why that line rings true to me. Malice is born of hell. That's when I separate myself from God.
Amen. Malice is born of hell is also a statement about vibration, quality of vibration, isn't it? That's one of the underlying themes in here. Like attracts like. Connection, the vibrational connection between a negative state and the ultimate negative state. We're always navigating this world through different levels of fineness of vibration. We want to be in that pure, beneficent, unifying, tawhidic truth. Or do you want to be sniping at somebody? Complaining, blaming. There'll be more on that, I think, in the next one, too. Sorry, two pretty negative selections here tonight. I've had enough ecstasy for a while. Let's get back to reality. Yes, Rifat.
I have a question about these two lines. You are what you think. As for the rest of you, it's only flesh and bone. Is this separating? It is, I think, at some level, separating out the physical from the mental. And is it then saying that the mental is fundamental? And if that is the case, what happens with the spirit? The body, mind, spirit.
Right.
Scheme here. So I just like to...
It deserves a little explanation.
Yeah.
Perhaps it would be clearer to say you are what you keep your attention on. And not just emphasizing thought as that mental activity, but where you put your heart, where you put your attention. So it is something fundamentally spirit. Elsewhere, Rumi says, a human being is essentially vision. The rest is just flesh and bones. It doesn't mean there isn't a relationship. Of course, there is. But it's a bit of an exaggeration. It's not meant to make us oblivious of our flesh and bone and nervous system. That needs to be transformed too, and will be transformed when the heart is in the right place, when the vibration is sufficiently refined. Even the nervous system undergoes some refinement. But here, the essence of it is, if your thought is a rose, you are the rose garden. You'll even have that fragrance. You will become the oil of the rose, the essence of the rose. Put your attention on God to the degree we can. You will be divinely perfumed. There's another beautiful hadith which says, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the best among you are those who, when seen, remind you of God. That's a subtle... He also said, the best among you are the best to their family, and the best among you are the ones who serve humanity. These are different levels, but to say the best among you are those who, when seen, just looking at a person, you're reminded of God. Ooh. I've known a few people like that. Something has permeated their being. Something indefinable. in Rumi's Masnavi, right in the middle of book one, comes a story about the ambassador of Rome and the Caliph Omar. Interesting that he should choose Omar. Omar is not usually the favorite of the mystics. But anyway, the ambassador of Rome comes to Medina, and he asks, where is your leader? And they said, oh, our leader is that guy sleeping under the palm tree over there. And the ambassador just takes one look at him, and Omar's asleep. Takes one look at him, and he melts. He's the barakah of Omar. Begins the transformation. And this comes in the middle of book one. This is the beginning of the esoteric path in the Masnavi. Till then, Rumi's been talking mostly about society, the world, outer things. And here is where he begins the discussion of the initiation, the beginning of the spiritual path. And interestingly, it's a non-believer who begins. It's from Rome, from Constantinople. Just one look at Omar awakens in him something he had never experienced in his life, something different. So, anyway, we started out with, if your thought is a rose, you are a rose garden. And if your thoughts are thorns, you're just kindling for the bath stove. You're fuel for hell. Well, the bath stove has a purpose. It helps people get clean. Nothing is without purpose. Yeah. So anyway, it doesn't mean you are what you think. You are what you reflect upon. You know, the word fikr would mean something a little bit more than what we usually mean by think. So, Amin, anything else in this little selection? The part gravitates towards its whole. Whoever is bitter will gather with the bitter. There's a saying in Turkish, I wish I could quote it. It's very funny in Turkish. I don't remember it exactly, but it's basically the crazy person is attracted to the crazy person. You sometimes see that. It's interesting. Who goes? Who's attracted by whom? Okay. Fareed, would you read the next one?
The real enemy. If you have subdued your egoism, you no longer have to make excuses. Nobody in the world remains your enemy. If anyone doubts my words about the prophets and saints and should ask, didn't the prophets subdue their egoism? So why did they have enviers and enemies? Listen, O seeker of truth, let's solve this difficulty of doubt. Those who were deniers were really enemies to themselves. They were striking at themselves the blows that they struck. An enemy is one who strikes at another's life. Someone destroying his own life is not an enemy to others.
One day Imam Ali was walking down the street with a companion by his side, and they passed a person, and Ali smiled and said, hello. Salam khair. Good morning. And as they passed, his companion said, don't you know that man hates you? And Ali says, no, he doesn't hate me. He doesn't know me. So that perpetual goodwill that refusal to other another. Realizing that those people who are malicious, judgmental, aggressive, hostile, cruel, are really being cruel to themselves, whether they know it or not. So to be without enemies. The prophets could be like that. The lovers, the true lovers of God could be like that. Mevlana could be like that. Other great ones could be like that. Moinuddin Chishti could be like that. And when battle is called for, sometimes it is. No one is your enemy. As Ali said, I wield this sword only in truth, not in malice. Not in hatred. But the key is in the first line. If you have subdued your egoism, that's the whole project. Jump to the very last quatrain, you see. Anna, would you read it, the last four lines?
Those who are deniers.
Nope. Unless. Unless the seeker.
I'm sorry.
The last. Which is. The last.
Oh, unless the seeker. I'm sorry. Unless the seeker is absolutely erased. In truth, he will not come into union. Union is not penetrable. It is your destruction. Otherwise, any worthless person would become the truth.
Now, we rarely offer such absolute statements. They're really not maybe for us at this stage. But good, take it. Put that in your book somewhere, maybe on the last page. So that you know that what we're talking about is something immense, not something cheap. But along the way, there are many deaths, many sacrifices, many stages of consent, stages of submission. Now, the bridge between where we are and where that is in the law, the path, the truth. Mustafa, you have enough light to read to us?
Oh, yes.
The law, the path, the truth. A nice strong voice so we can hear it all the way over here.
The law is like learning about alchemy from a teacher or a book. The path is like the transformative process, like rubbing copper on the philosopher's stone. The truth is like the reality of copper turned to gold. Those who know about alchemy rejoice in their knowledge of it. They say, "We know the theory well." And those who practice it rejoice in their practice of it. They say, "We do this work." And those who have experienced the reality rejoice in that reality. They say, "We have become gold. Now we're delivered from theory and practice. God has set us free." Each party is rejoicing in what they have. The law is knowledge, the path action, the truth attainment to God. Then whoever hopes to meet his sustainer, let him do good works and associate none other in the service of his Lord. And God bless the best of his creatures, Muhammad, and his family and his companions,
and the people of his house, and grant them peace.
Amen. We need those people at the end. If this were an abstract philosophy, it wouldn't engage us, it wouldn't inspire us. But because there are people on this path who have lived this, we fall in love. We are humbled. So three stages are described. The first stage, you can be a great scholar. You can translate many books and still be talking about something. And then the second stage, the stage of ama, the work. Hopefully that's where we are. Willing to do the work day in and day out, however successful or unsuccessful we may be. There is an engagement. There is this engagement with observing ourselves, seeing ourselves as we are. And remember, the theme of this month is to see things as they are. Beginner's mind, la ilaha illallah, that means includes seeing ourselves by removing the trivialities, idolatries, distractions, just to see ourselves and to see the life God has given us and to see possibly the grace of this moment and the grace of our own condition. Until finally they say, but they don't say publicly, they don't say it as a pronouncement, we have become gold. No one who becomes gold is going to say that as a pronouncement about themselves. But something in them may speak that. They may be erased. And in being erased, they have become the gold. Any one of us here can have moments of being erased. Any one of us here have moments where of pure being. It's just that we're not that way all the time. There are moments when the divine intelligence, the divine mercy may operate through us for a moment, maybe longer, when we serve, when we forget ourselves. We're not preoccupied with ourselves. We don't feel as if we need to withhold or strategize. Then we are in that final stage of that quatrain. There are moments. Maybe they're rare, but they're possible. Because after all, it is Allah, it is the divine that is animating you. That is your intelligence, your consciousness, your love. It all comes from that. There's nothing else. Nothing of any value originates with you or me. So if there's love, alhamdulillah. If there's forgiveness, alhamdulillah. If there's a moment of haq, of truth, a true word comes from any of our lips, it's al-haq, it's him. Our egos are just what resists. Our egos are what complains and comments, and doubts and withholds and has second guesses. Says but, or if only. Finally, I want to share with you something extraordinary, great wisdom. Description of seven deadly sins. Wealth without work, pleasure without conscience, science without humanity, knowledge without character, politics without principle, commerce without morality, worship without sacrifice. Who spoke these words? Anyone know?
Something from Natural Balaghah.
Okay, sounds like Imam Ali. Sure does. Could be. All those principles definitely are in Imam Ali's teachings. Wealth without work, pleasure without conscience, science without humanity, knowledge without character, politics without principle, commerce without morality, worship without sacrifice. You find them all in Imam Ali's letter to Ashtar. Mahatma Gandhi. Siddhi Mahatma Gandhi. Maulana Mahatma Gandhi. It's the whole basis of a noble life and a noble society. Also, all of it coming from awareness of haq. Haq, which is not just truth, but haq is what is right and rights. Rights derive from what is right. Haqaiq derives from haq. So we'll come back to that another time. Just a touch, just a taste. So we're so blessed to have a path, to have people to share a path with, to have a coherent reality with a spiritual north, so to speak. And many people wandering in a labyrinth of human conjecture and opinion and blame and anxiety and fear, clueless, even though the clues are in their own hearts, but they may not be able to access those clues because the heart needs purification, it needs to be cleansed before it can be trusted and relied upon, and the heart is cleansed either through suffering or through knowledge, through a spiritual discipline, a real teaching. So Carolyn, is this starting to make a little more sense week by week?
Yes.
It's not so complicated, is it? Just because it's given to us in such beautiful poetry and such great literature and such profound revelations doesn't mean it's complicated. It's not over anybody's head.